Hey, this is Max from the Arkells, and you're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Everybody, welcome into episode number 622 of Underground Sports Philadelphia, presented by the City of Vineland. It's KB coming at you. Little untraditional format to this week's show, as I recorded earlier with the man, the myth, the legend, Stephen McAvoy, as we broke down the 2024 NCAA tournament bracket together. So I'll be touching on some things here, doing a couple of ad reads for you, but most of the episode is going to be us breaking down the bracket. Ton of fun. We do this every year, typically, one way or another, just a different way of going about it. But let's have some fun. The madness is here. Before I get into everything, we announced our live stream schedule for the madness, Underground Madness. We are doing companion streams this year for a bunch of the games. It is on our social media profiles at Underground PHI. Tune in to the companion streams on Thursday. When you guys are listening to this, we are getting started 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. All these times Eastern time, we are going to be streaming for South Carolina versus Oregon. And then 7:15 p.m., new stream will pop up. It will be Gonzaga versus McNeese State at 7:15 p.m. And then the fun kicks in. We've got the Madness After Dark slate, which will kick off at 9:10 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday. Texas Tech versus NC State, bleeding into the tip-off for Kansas versus Samford. And then the final game on Thursday, the nightcap we have, is Washington State versus Drake. Then on Friday, we get it going. First game of the Friday slate we are streaming for, Northwestern versus FAU, Florida Atlantic, which then 2 o'clock we will go into Marquette versus Western Kentucky. And then we're back for Madness After Dark, kicks off 9:10 p.m. Eastern time, Wisconsin versus James Madison, along with Utah State versus TCU, and then St. Mary's versus Grand Canyon to round it out. Tune into the streams, youtube.com/@undergroundsportsphiladelphia. That is where you get to watch the Madness companion streams. But before I get into everything else, make sure you guys are following us on the socials at Underground PHI, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/undergroundsportsphi, twitch.tv/undergroundsportsphi. Follow me on Twitter at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts in audio form. Leave a 5-star rating and review. It really does go a long way for helping the show continue to grow. Helps more people find Underground Sports Philadelphia as a whole. Helps more people find all of our podcasts on the network in general. We've been bumping. Holy cow, I didn't even notice this until now, but we have climbed the charts once again. USA Sports Podcast Charts. We are creeping in to the top 1,000, everybody. Let's go. Let's keep it pushing. Let's keep the vibes going. Let's keep the momentum moving. Keep subscribing. Keep listening. Keep downloading. Let's get into that top 1K. We're at 1,013 right now in the USA Sports Charts. That's a live reaction. We are within reach of the top 1,000 sports podcasts in the U.S. A small, independent Philly sports show. Let's ride. Underground Nation, we are here. Let's do it. Let's crack the top 1,000. Let's make this happen. Come on. I'm pump me up. I'm ready to run through the brick wall you see if you're watching on YouTube right now. Keep subscribing on audio. Let's go. Apple, Spotify, leave the 5-star ratings and reviews. Keep subscribing. Keep reviewing. Download it. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. Let's go. Oh, I'm so pumped. I'm pumped. That is awesome. That's awesome. And shout out to our Brazil listeners, too. So we got the birds going down to Brazil this football season. We're cracking into the all podcasts in Brazil right now. Keep subscribing on audio. Let's go. And, of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@Underground Sports Philadelphia. That's where you get full video episodes of this show twice a week, full video episodes of every show on our network. Our Underground Madness streams are on our YouTube channel. All of our live streams go on our YouTube channel. Clips, shorts, original video content, it's all on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@Underground Sports Philadelphia. We've been in a little bit of a lull in subscribers lately. Let's get those subscriber numbies up, up, up. Let's keep it going. youtube.com/@Underground Sports Philadelphia. And of course, this show is presented by the City of Vineland, and the City of Vineland Municipal Calendar features city organized, city sponsored, and city affiliated events that are of public interest. The calendar, which is accessible at vinelandcity.org, is a good way for residents and visitors to build awareness, remain engaged with city government, and participate in local events. You can also follow the City of Vineland on social media via their Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube pages. And through these tools, you can stay connected to the community and get important announcements about programs and services offered by the city. Vineland, New Jersey, where it's always growing season. And big thank you to Security 21 Security Systems and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated for their continued support of this podcast. Steve and I broke down the bracket just the other night. We go through everything, have some fun talking points along the way. So without any further ado, let's get into the bracket. And it is brought to you by our awesome merch partners at PHI Apparel Company, the best merch in the game. From t-shirts to hoodies, they've got you covered. Eagles, Phillies, Sixers, Flyers, Union, and of course, Underground Sports Philadelphia podcast merch. It's the exclusive home for all of our merch. Go to phiapparel.co. Check out everything they have to offer. Gear up, whether you're going to the game, hanging out with friends, going down and watching at a local bar, restaurant, whatever it may be, or you're just hanging out at home. Go to phiapparel.co so you can stand out in the crowd, and when you go to check out, use code UNDERGROUND for 10% off your merch orders. It is the most effective and direct way to support everything we're doing here at Underground Sports Philadelphia. Get your merch, and when you get it, post it on social media. We'll repost it everywhere. PHI Apparel Company will repost it. Get your merch, phiapparel.co, code UNDERGROUND, 10% off your merch orders. And now, without any further ado, let's get into the bracket breakdown with myself, Stevie McAvoy. There have been some ridiculous like posts since Selection Sunday. One of them that was hilarious to me was the Field of 68 Media Network posted like their poster of analysts and everything, and the quote tweets were hilarious. It was like, "May I offer you one hiring position for woman?" Because it was literally like 18 dudes headshots on the screenshot. It was so fucking funny.
My favorite thing was, so someone posted choosing my bracket solely based on school's proximities to a Wendy's.
Yes. Congratulations, Oregon. You've won the national title.
Then the other one was basically a bunch of the guys in the analyst booth, because it was the Mountain West final, and it was like 10:30 at night. And it's everyone asleep, except for John Rothstein. And it's like the one friend on coke. Again, find me someone in America who is so clueless about everything else in the world going on in his little own bubble. And John Rothstein with college basketball, when he was on, pardon my take, the like, "Oh, it's Super Bowl." He goes, "Oh yeah, I got Mahomes is playing, right?"
Bro, so good.
Oh, 49ers, so good. Right? Jeff Garcia still there? Like, no, sorry.
Also, I mean, I know you've been trying to get John Rothstein, and I know he mentioned on PMT that he hasn't read his mentions since 2017, but he did say He has an email, and to reach out via email.
I will find John Rothstein, and I will go to his house, and I will find this man, and I will drag him onto this show. It means tying him up and sitting him in this seat right here, and I'll sit across the room. We'll do a true interview style. You know, John Rothstein had a friend who invited him to his wedding or his bachelor party, and he said
engagement
he couldn't do
party.
It. Engagement party, and he couldn't do it. And his friend got really mad at him, but he knew that deep down he wasn't really a good guy. And he goes, "Sorry, bro. It's March. It's basketball season. We sleep in May."
Yes, unlike Rico Bosco, who falls asleep on a conference championship stream.
Can't be me.
Can't be me.
Couldn't be.
Welcome in to Underground Madness Volume 4 here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. It's KB. It's Stevie Mack. We have the brackets. If you haven't already, it's about an hour long. Myself, DJ, Christian, live reaction to the bracket on Selection Sunday. It's in our live stream tab on YouTube. Definitely go check that out. A lot of fun, a lot of good clips that'll be coming out over the next couple days from that. I also dropped one of the most hilarious lines, Steve, because University of Oregon, shout out to the Ducks, they're playing in Pittsburgh for the opening round. And I said, well, I guess they're getting Oregon ready to play in the Pac-10 since they're having them come east.
You know, the fact that the Pac-12 is folding and the fact that Oregon managed to slip their way into this tournament. Number one, I can tell you right now that Dana Altman in his history at Oregon has never not made the round of 32, and we'll talk more about the Ducks, but the fact that Oregon made this dance is so great because they battled through so many injuries. I cannot wait to fill this bracket out and show you guys like the absolute chaos that is going to ensue over the next 5.5 weeks. We have the round of 64. We start off, well, I think the first two games are currently in motion. Wagner and Howard should have finished up by the time that I finished dinner. And then we have Colorado State and UVA, which, by the way, if you like, find me a worse rock fight on planet Earth. UVA is like basically the definition of a root canal. They just go so freaking slow,
and they're nepo
dying
babies
to wait, basically. And you're
shout
dying
out to my guy Zach Carey. He covers the Utah Archers and the PLL as their beat writer, but he also works for SB Nation covering the Virginia Cavaliers as he is a student at UVA. And on Selection Sunday night, he posted a screenshot because he's currently studying abroad in Italy, and said, "What idiot would pre-write this article?" And it was the University of Virginia misses out on March Madness 2024.
I'm just letting you know right now it's going to happen. Colorado State will win this game. The game tips off in 3 minutes as of recording. By the way, shout out to New York's finest. The Wagner, I don't even know what they are. The Hawks, I guess? The Wagner Hawks? Beats Howard at the buzzer by 3 to advance to the tournament, and they'll be taking on, I can only imagine,
they are the Wagner UNC Seahawks. The Wagner Seahawks.
I was close. We're only missing the C. They're from Staten Island, so who really cares about them anyways? They're going to get routed by the Tar Heels. So, we have this bracket here that's madness is probably the best way to describe it, and a lot of madness will ensue here. So let's just kind of jump right in. Should I share should I share this raw bracket, and let's just kind of build off that?
Yeah, let's do that. And while you pull up the raw bracket, our March Madness coverage is brought to you by our pals over at Dead Threads. And Steve, I was inspired today. I was feeling very creative. And in my brain, I hatched a very fun idea. I know we've been talking about how you're all the people involved in our bracket challenge, which it is linked in the description. If you haven't joined already, get in on that. You'll have an opportunity to win some sweet merch from Dead Threads. I figured out the way that we're going to do this.
Okay.
We are going to have people DM us their dead brackets.
I love that.
And we will randomly select a few people who DM us their dead brackets based upon their death rate. And those people will end up winners of the Dead Threads merch.
The worst bracket to win. Honestly, it's probably even better than when what's his name, Warren Buffett, used to give away his billions if you got a perfect. Because honestly, after all this is said and done, there's going to be a lot of busts very quickly.
And everybody can click the link in the description as well from our pals over at Dead Threads. It's inspired, street culture meets celebrity meets athlete. They've got some of the coolest merch in the game. College basketball, obviously, at the forefront for us this March Madness season. But they've also got college football, pro football, pro baseball. I'm sure as baseball season rolls along, we'll start seeing more rollouts there. We got pro basketball, pro hockey, and some secret fun things in there if you just peruse around the website. Click the link in the description or go to deadthreads.shop and use code UNDERGROUND at checkout, and you get 10% off your order from our pals over at Dead Threads. But yeah, we're going to have people, when your bracket is dead, DM us your dead bracket, or we'll set up an email or something. We'll figure out a way to do it so that way our DMs aren't going crazy. But dead brackets equals dead threads.
Love that. Love that so much. So let's start off really quickly, kind of just like breaking down the brackets themselves and the regions that we wound up with. I want to point out that if there is not an easier route for UConn to go to the final, I don't think they could have made it any easier for them. I think the East region is a cakewalk. Iowa State got boned with the idea that they were not the number one two seed within this bracket. They very well could have gotten a much easier draw in comparison to an Arizona. That's going to get Long Beach State and then Nevada and Dayton. Granted, their road isn't easy either. But the East is certainly a layup track in comparison to some of the other areas that we're in. You go to the South on the opposite side. This is really where there are so many teams on this South side that can very much win the Region A and B, the NCAA tournament. And can a team beat Houston? That's to be seen. I very much think it very well might happen. You go down to the Midwest, and this is really where everybody is just loaded. Any one of these teams to come out of this is going, it's going to be a rock fight no matter where you go. Tennessee is probably, in my opinion, the second best two seed of the bunch. I think the Colorado State UVA game, the winner of that game very well could be Texas because they're all banged up on injuries. Creighton's ridiculous. Dana Altman doesn't lose in tournaments. South Carolina is loaded as well in their top seven. Samford is going to run you out of the building. If you aren't able to slow the pace down and they could force you into a quick game, they'll beat you. And Kansas, on the other hand, while injured, is still having that pedigree that they can very well do a lot.
Speaking of which, not to cut you off, Steve, speaking of which, I don't know if you saw the news about an hour ago, speaking of Kansas and injuries, Kevin McCullough Jr. out for the NCAA tournament with a knee injury.
Yeah, it's a big blow to them, but they do still have Hunter Dickinson, the transfer from Michigan. I do think that Kansas could do damage, but the injury does certainly persuade me a little bit to look at Samford more. Tendency is, and again, we'll talk about this more, is that the slower-paced teams tend to outperform the faster-paced teams because it's really on the fast-paced teams to get the slower teams out of rhythm, and it tends to not happen nearly as often as you think. The McNeese-Gonzaga game, I'm going to lose sleep over this game. I don't know who the hell I'm going to pick at this very moment. McNeese is one of the best mid-major schools in this tournament. They can do significant damage. In my opinion, they got screwed with withdrawing Gonzaga because Gonzaga is that good of a team. TCU is one of the most experienced squads here against Utah State, who finished second in the Mountain West. I think both of those teams are really good. And, of course, the story is Purdue. When are they going to lose? Are they going to lose? We'll have to see about that. And then, finally, the West region. Again, there's a lot of very strong teams, but there's also a lot of question marks. I question the skill set of Arizona. I question the skill set of Alabama, who's run and gun, try and score a million points. And North Carolina, while yes, having the most experience amongst those number one seeds, having both Armando Bacot and I forget my other other top scorer's name off the top of my head, having two 2,000-point scorers in their careers is a huge advantage that you have at North Carolina, but could they get past a school like a St. Mary's, like a New Mexico, who's been on absolute fire? The Baylor Bears, who the Big 12 has been known to be one of the best conferences in college basketball because they play elite defense and they play NBA-style games. They have momentum and pace and the ability to score 75 points but make the game feel slow, which I think is a really interesting point here. So that's kind of the breakdown so far of the bracket.
You're thinking of RJ Davis from UNC.
Thank you, Arthur Davis. Yes, that That's our man. Because Caleb Love went to Arizona. Which, by the way, if we do happen to see an Arizona UNC Elite Eight, very much could see the Caleb Love revenge game against UNC, which would be very cool.
Yeah, I mean, looking across the bracket too, like there's so many, like I've seen so many people filling out their brackets. That's why they pay so many of the ESPN analysts their big bucks, because they just send through all the one seeds. But you know, there's so many prime opportunities this year for so many upsets that, like, we've talked about this on this show, text message, all that kind of stuff. Like, this year is going to be the most unpredictable year. And I think that's why so many people are like, well, UConn's going to repeat, because it is so unpredictable.
Yeah.
Underground Sports Philadelphia is also brought to you in part by our awesome beer partner, Kenwood Beer. March Madness, perfect time to crack open an ice-cold Kenny or go out and see who's got Kenny's on tap. It's 4.1% ABV, just 120 calories, 8 grams of carbs. It is Philadelphia's top light lager. Go to kenwoodbeer.com, see who's got Kenny's on tap for the NCAA tournament in the Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Maryland, and New Jersey areas. You can also get it at your local liquor store in those markets. Check out their storefront. Get the awesome Kenwood Beer merch, from shirts to sweatshirts to the pint glasses, which are absolutely elite. Kenwoodbeer.com. Use the Kenny Finder. See who's got him on tap this March Madness. When you go out and you get a Kenwood Beer, tag Kenwood Beer. Tag us. Let us know you're sipping on some ice-cold Kenny's. Must be 21 or older to do so. And, of course, please drink responsibly.
No, so, like, first of all, the metrics here across all of it, and a lot of it, this was talked in my interview with Ryan Hammer, which, by the way, if you haven't checked that out yet, totally check it out. We're going to try and have him on probably following the round of 32 to break down and down these Sweet 16 and further on. But there's the last repeat champion was 06-07 with Florida. That was with Corey Brewer and Carlos Boozer and a ridiculous squad there, Joakim Noah. So, like, the odds of you repeating are so slim to none, but at the same time, the bracket, again, could not be easier for UConn. But the question is, who's going to be the team to topple them? Is it going to be a UNC? Is it going to be Arizona? Could it be Baylor or a ridiculous double-digit seed? There's also, like, the idea that, like, look, the bracket is all about, like, everyone loves upsets and darlings. And you have to understand that there is a level to these things, that you can't just take a 11 seed to go to the Final Four, because 9 times out of 10, it doesn't happen. Yes, a double-digit seed has made the Sweet 16 in the last 15 men's tournaments. Yes, I'm going to be having double-digit seeds in the Sweet 16. But you can't load your bracket up with all the 12 seeds beating the fives. It never happens. Like, there are certain metrics here that you need to follow and certain ratios that, just like, the law of averages kind of tend to fare to itself nicely. Something that's been very common that I've seen a lot of people talking about is, like, the year UVA won it all, they lost to UMBC the year prior. Purdue lost to Fairleigh Dickinson. Is Purdue going to win a champion? The odds of Purdue winning are actually higher than the chances of UConn repeating, which is kind of the crazy idea here. But again, we'll dig into all of this and we'll figure out where you should go. Of course, this is going to be a long episode, so we'll be able to at least break down just about every game in the first round, dig into the metrics, see how far we can get, and see where you're going to get bracket busters between one seed losing, two seeds making it, 14 seeds going all the way. It could very well be just hectic as usual. And again, you have a higher tendency or likeliness to be struck by lightning 4 times and win the lottery 3 times than get a perfect bracket. So go into this acknowledging that you will not have a perfect bracket, but if you can finish at 85%, it's a pretty damn good bracket.
And if it's pretty dead, you'll have an opportunity to win some sweet gear from Dead Threads. Steve, there's been a lot of there's been a lot of rumblings from Sunday on that the selection committee was terrible this year.
Yeah.
And I loved a bunch of people. I think Big Cat, Mark Titus, and a whole bunch of other podcasts I've been watching this week said, why are we thanking the committee on selection Sunday on every broadcast? What did they do? They sat around in a hotel room, ate cold cuts. and absolutely missed the mark on a ton of these teams getting in or being left out. Obviously, the most notable being Virginia. Everyone was stunned that they got in. You know, a lot of people talking about Duquesne getting an 11 seed and not being the strongest 11 seed. And there's some 12 seeds that are more adapt to move on than Duquesne is. But across the board, what are some of the big misses that you kind of saw across in this bracket?
So I think Duquesne's a good start. Of course, Duquesne came out of nowhere to win the Big Ten. The A-10. I get it. You beat Dayton. You got through Richmond. You got through VCU. Like there are more talented teams that very well could have made that 11 line, but I would have put like a JMU, who while didn't win in a better conference per se, did have better quad one, quad two victories than you. I would have personally put JMU a little bit higher.
Well, I'm just convinced there's some sicko on the committee that wanted to see part of my take fall because Wisconsin playing JMU with the other portion of that bracket being Duke and Vermont, and that is Big Cat's alma mater, PFT's alma mater in Wisconsin and JMU. Hank is a Duke fan, and Jake Marsh did play-by-play broadcasting for the University of Vermont for 2 years.
Yeah, there's some sort of collusion going on clearly, but I think actually this makes things great because I can almost tell you right now, I think JMU is going to be a completely hot threat going into this tournament. Agreed. But other like spots where I think they really messed up, I would say like Michigan State getting a 9 is gross. Like I don't really think where does it fit. I don't think they're like more of an 11. Honestly, they don't really fit the mold for me. The Mountain West got heavily disrespected, and what I mean by that was A, Boise State and Colorado State having to play their way into this tournament is one thing that's absolutely ridiculous to me. On top of that, like, why is UVA in? I personally think still Indiana State was the best team to have gotten on that 10 line for the play-in. Yeah, they didn't have any really great quad one, quad two wins, but at the same time, though, it's the idea that they were a net top 30 team. They absolutely deserved to be there. I think other teams where they kind of messed up, or not even really messed up, but just like the way they screwed up the bracket. Like pairing McNeese with Gonzaga, if you want to have a darling, McNeese is your team. But now you set them up with a Red Hawk Gonzaga team, who, while yes, the history doesn't necessarily favor Gonzaga going, they go deep, but they can't close out in the finals. This is probably the hottest five seed amongst the pack that isn't St. Mary's. And again, St. Mary's and Gonzaga, both in the five line, both in the same conference, doesn't totally pan out very well. I think really where they messed up was just matchups and just putting teams in spots that I don't think really fit. Even like FAU on the 8 line, like people wanted FAU out of the tournament completely. Mm-hmm. But how could you fade the darling, right? I really think the bubble is where things got out of hand because you had a situation where Michigan State, Oklahoma, St. John's, Texas A&M, Villanova, Providence, Seton Hall, I think could have gotten a bid. All of these teams were on this bubble line. But because of all these bid stealers and teams who came in and snuck under the radar and managed to get into the tournament, really screwed particularly the Big East, only getting 3 bids, which was absolutely crazy for a conference that for the longest time had 6 top 25 teams. Like there was one juncture, you got to realize this, that we had Villanova, Providence, Seton Hall, and St. John's all in the top 25 alongside Creighton, Marquette, and UConn. That, I think, is really kind of the craziest part. For a conference as strong as the Big East, only have 3 bids, I think, is nuts.
Yeah, first time since 1993, the year I was born. I wasn't even born yet when that occurred. I don't know if you saw this on Selection Sunday night as well. Somebody that would be awesome for you to get on, I think, too, John Fanta. He tweeted this: for the first time in the 45-year history of the Big East Conference, a team went over 5 games over 500 in conference play and did not make the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely crazy.
That team is
small. And honestly, and the worst part is, too, is that Providence even made the semifinal. Villanova, I think, got chopped, I believe, in the second round.
Yeah,
and Seton Hall fell to Providence. Like, we're talking about Providence probably had the best shot as the outlier team, probably the worst team of the bunch, too, considering that their top player got hurt in week 4 of the year. and yet still got edged out. And I know Patino is somewhere getting a little pissed off because he had to settle for the NIT, and even then he said, "I'm not going to the NIT."
This episode of Underground Sports Philadelphia is also brought to you in part by our friends over at FOCO. FOCO, the leading distributor in forever collectibles. Officially licensed merch from NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, WWE, your favorite shows from growing up in the entertainment world, soccer, college, you name it, FOCO has collectibles for you. You guys obviously saw me wearing the overalls all Phillies postseason long. We got the Jason Kelce Mummers bobblehead that is coming that we ordered that will be on the shelves behind us here in studio when it arrives. And you already know, I got to get my hands on those Philly shortalls. It's overalls but shorts for that summertime find down at the ballpark. Elite. They've also got college basketball shirts that are absolutely pristine. Click the link in the description. Check out all the forever collectibles that FOCO has to offer. And big thank you to FOCO for sponsoring the podcast. That's FOCO.com, or click the link in the description to support us, support FOCO, and improve and upgrade your forever collectibles today. Did you see the hilarious conspiracy theory about the Mountain West versus Big East bids?
Oh, I can only imagine.
It might have been procured by one Frank the Tank, being a Seton Hall fan that he is. He said, "What network is the Mountain West broadcast on, Steve?" That would be CBS. Six bids. "What network is the Big East broadcast on?" Fox. Three bids. It's a TV rights conspiracy.
Well, what a bad conspiracy theory. Remember when 2 years ago I said the Mountain West can't win for dick, and then all of a sudden they blew up right in my face to San Diego State going to the final?
Ugh. Unreal.
Well, life just stinks, right?
Shout out to my boy Dukes. Dayton gets that 7 seed. I think people are sleeping on that portion of the bracket because I know Arizona's talented, but my goodness, are they a bracket buster year in and year out?
There's a scenario that you can see Long Beach State beat Arizona, and part of me is itching for it.
Dude, team has the ultimate like Disney movie script.
But you know what though? Like, Arizona is a really good team. They're a fast-paced team. They beat you inside and outside. They have really good defense. Like, they are. When you look at the metrics for like who could be a national champion, like they fit almost every metric, just about, and like in the top tier for that too. But again, like you look past certain things. Long Beach State, while a team who is quick in transition, they don't force a ton of turnovers, but they make up on second chance points. They're a very one-dimensional team that they beat you inside and basically that's it. It'd be a rock fight to beat Arizona, but the scenario is more than possible if they can get out in transition and beat them that way.
Their coach was also fired and decided to keep coaching.
Yeah, that's a some like Mighty Ducks shit.
This feels like, too, the first year that every single two seed is filled with perennial bracket busters. Arizona, Tennessee, Iowa State, Marquette. Every year, everyone's like, oh, this is my hipster pick. I'm picking this team to go to the Final Four. I'm going to pick them to win. And then they always decimate your bracket no matter what. Which of these two seeds do you think has the most ample shot of continuing that tradition?
It's Arizona. I think that this is actually the one year where all the two seeds are actually really strong. Tennessee is... They focus too heavily on their top five players, their starting five, their two main reserves. They don't really have a lot of depth, but they are one of the most soundly defensive teams and one of the best offenses in the country. I think like between Marquette and Iowa State, if there's a two seed that's going to beat a one seed, it's those two teams. They're that uber talented. I do think that Iowa State could very much give UConn a run for their money. But again, you got to realize by the time that Iowa State plays UConn, which would be in the Elite Eight, UConn would have never taken a plane. They would have played two games at the Barclays Center, and this would be their second game at the TD Garden. UConn fans travel so well, it would be a legitimate home game for four straight nights for the UConn Huskies. I don't see a way UConn loses going up until they have to go to Arizona.
Yeah.
So, like, I think Iowa State very much has a shot. I think Marquette's got a shot. The question is, can Marquette get past Kentucky? Which is the biggest question mark that I have amongst anybody else on this bracket. And if Kentucky can lose, and the only team that I can see them losing to would be NC State, that's really where Marquette's going to shine. Is if they can get the Houston, they can beat Houston, which is the biggest thing.
And Tennessee, they've got Creighton looming potentially, and Creighton's got a bunch of dogs on that team.
Tennessee's got a lot of question marks to deal with, because
the one question mark they don't have is they have one of the coldest white boys of all time. Dalton Knecht is a cold ass white boy.
Ryan Kalkbrenner for Creighton. That guy's drank milk for every single meal for the last 21 years.
He's got Kalk in his name. Of course he's white.
But I'm telling you right now, though, that Tennessee, their biggest challenge is going to wind up being Creighton or Oregon. Like I said, Daniel Altman has never not made it to the round of 32. In the seven times that he's brought Oregon to the dance, he's made the Elite Eight, I think, twice, and the Sweet 16 four times. This guy did
Oregon
not
go as like an 8 seed or an 11 seed, like pretty far, yes, a couple years ago.
I think 2021. This team knows how to win. Daniel Altman's one of the all time great coaches. He's been coaching at Oregon since 2010. And again, they made the dance seven times. They've never lost in the first round. Which again, I thought South Carolina would be a really strong team. They also got boned by the coverage here in terms of the matchup that they got.
I also think a lot of the 11 seeds. Are
strong
compared to their 6 seed adversaries.
Yes, and I think the number one team that stands out there, if you want to talk about upsets, between Oregon and New Mexico, the Lobos are on a heater, basically snuck through their conference to advance on to the tournament. They have some of the best guard play in the nation. They have one of the best offenses. They actually fit the metric that everyone talks about in, oh, every champion for the last 15 years since 2002 has this offensive efficiency and this defensive efficiency. They're like the third best team in both those categories when you look at the teams that fit the metric. They're really good. I think Clemson got screwed over because they're going to get washed in the first round. And you know what? I guess the first dent here we'll make is New Mexico advancing.
With that NC State also super strong as an 11 seed going up against Texas Tech.
Actually crazy, the idea that I'm taking 3 11 seeds, and unfortunately Duquesne is gonna
I'm rot. Also not out on the thought that Duquesne could pull an upset over BYU.
BYU. I'm not sold on Duquesne. That's the biggest thing too. I think BYU is one of the most efficient teams in the country. They have a great offense, a really strong defense. They don't give the ball up very much. I watched them play against Baylor and they won convincingly in that game. And again, beating the Big 12 is so important. If you have quality wins against Big 12 opponents, whether or not you're in conference or out of conference, that's huge. Big 12 teams have won the tournament. I don't even know what the number is, but I believe like 4 of the last 7 years, I think it is. Like the way the Big 12 is constructed is high scoring offenses and incredible defenses. The only thing is that on a game by game basis, which one overpowers? And it's usually the defense.
I have a
you'll play 70-70 rock fights.
I have a fun trivia fact for you, and I'm hoping you don't know this. You know there is a single-digit seed in this tournament that has never won an NCAA tournament game?
The 14s.
No, like a single-digit that is in this current tournament. So a 1-9 seed.
Like a, like a team or a
team, like an institution that has never won.
I was gonna say, because I'm pretty sure also every 3 has beaten the 14, I think, in the history of the tournament.
Oh yeah, I'm saying just in general, one of these teams that is a single digit seed has never won an NCAA tournament game.
Oh god, you're putting me on here. Can't be a team who's made it very often, I can tell you that much. I actually don't know.
It is your number 8 seed in the South region. The Nebraska Cornhuskers have never won an NCAA tournament game.
Well, I'll tell you this right now. A&M did not deserve to get into this tournament. They're going to dance for a first time in their careers. I love the Cornhuskers. They're a really strong team. They're going to wind up playing Houston, even though I would love to see a Longwood versus Morehead State turnaround. That won't happen. Yeah, exactly. you heard my ass right. With that being said, let's kind of just like dig into the bracket here and really kind of break things down. I want to just easily start off here and just let you know that UConn's going to the final. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest part of all of this that I can almost guarantee is a likely factor going on here. Again, we'll start with our upsets here, which I think we've kind of gone through all of these before. There are some that I missed. James Madison will roll over Wisconsin. I think JMU is one of the most efficient offenses. They take care of the ball super well. They force turnovers. Their margin is incredible. I love this team. Let's see where else we're going to go here on this list. I'm going to wait on these two games because I still don't know who I'm taking at this juncture for either one of those games. I'm like really up in the air. The injury to Kansas really helps Samford. McNeese, again, is one of the darlings out of the OVC.
I think Samford is still the America's darling team this year.
I actually think New Mexico and JMU are going to be those teams for everybody because they have those like deep roots. But like McNeese and the Pokes, I think, really kind of stand out within that category. The only other upsets, like true upsets, and one that we haven't talked about at all, Drake over Wazoo, one of the best offensive teams in the nation that doesn't turn the ball over whatsoever. They make their free throws. They get after you in transition, and they're going to force teams to play fast. And Wazoo is not used to playing fast. Drake is going to win this game. I don't know if it convincingly, but they'll most certainly get there. That's going to be the other big upset that I'm playing. I also like either Colorado or Boise State over Florida. I just don't think Florida out of the SEC has got it. And then additionally, assuming Colorado State wins this game, I'm going to take Colorado State to advance. If UVA is to win, I will probably end up taking Texas because while, like I said, Virginia plays like a root canal, no one wants to see them go anywhere. Otherwise, I think everything else, I hate to be that guy, is pretty much chalky. If you want to talk like upsets,
I like TCU.
Sure. Again, it's not quite an upset, quote unquote, but
I like Mississippi State.
I think we'll win there. The 8-9s, FAU does not deserve to be in this tournament.
I like Northwestern.
Win that game. Otherwise, I think honestly, I think that's it for my upsets. Yeah,
I mean,
it's a wave of upsets.
It's a like freaky kind of one. I'm not sleeping on Charleston against Alabama.
So, I made a joke with Ryan in the post show. I said, like, what are two of the games that like you that is potentially going to come true based on certain determining factors? And he goes, if Charleston plays Alabama, there's going to be 900 points scored in that game. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about teams that like to play incredibly fast and just jackknife threes all over the fucking place? It's Alabama and Charleston. Whatever that number is, it might be in the 200s. Hit the over. That's my only betting advice in the first round. Play the over on that game. That's going to be a ridiculous matchup.
I'm also looking at this too, and I am preliminarily right now taking San Diego State. It wouldn't shock me if UAB pulls the upset.
Yeah, UAB, they're a very streaky team, which I think is interesting. I like San Diego State in this spot as the number one team out of the Mountain West. But I do think that there is a area where the UAB could win this game. But again, the five and the 12, a lot of people love the 12 over the 5. Again, I've only got two, I believe, or no, only one. And honestly, for good reason. I just don't think that the 12s this year are as convincing. This game is actually really convincing for me. St. Mary's and Grand Canyon. The key here, again, like I said, slow teams outpace the fast teams. GCU and the Lopes, they want to go after the ball quickly. They want to beat you in transition. St. Mary's is one of the slowest teams in college basketball, and they will suck you dry. They will literally take the blood out of your body and wait for you to just rot to a carcass. It's amazing how St. Mary's plays, and I think they're going to go really far in this tournament. And it's the reason why they were so good against Gonzaga the entirety of the year. Gonzaga wanted to get after you, play a bit more of a fast-paced game, and St. Mary's would not let it happen.
So, yeah, so far we're pretty parallel with a lot of these picks.
Yeah. So I'm going to just, for the sake of the exercise, I'm going to go chalky. I do actually like Gonzaga over McNeese. I think McNeese got screwed over on the bracket, but this is going to be probably the best game in the first round, in my opinion. When you look at a upset alert matchup, that's going to be the one game that's going to be super close and down to the wire. From there, we have our round of 32 pretty much set up across the board. UConn will roll over Northwestern. Auburn's one of the most talented teams in college basketball. I will take them over San Diego State, but again, Auburn's run will come short. Come the Sweet 16 against UConn. The BYU-Illinois matchup is really interesting. I think Illinois is a well-rounded team, but for a long time this year in the Big Ten did not have the stuff, to go deep. I'm actually going to take BYU here as the sixth seed, and then Iowa State is the best two seed, in my honest opinion. They will roll and go up to UConn, but unfortunately the Cyclones will come up short on their trip to Austin. With the goal of going to Austin, they'll lose at the Garden to the UConn Huskies. Turning over to the other side, UNC is one of the best teams in this tournament. They have all of the talent out there. St. Mary's, again, slow versus fast. St. Mary's gets the easiest route to the Sweet 16 from a team that isn't named UConn. They'll play in the Sweet 16. That's going to be a rock fight and a great game. This is where things get interesting. Dayton is a very middle-of-the-road team. They're dead even on the surface. Arizona, if they can get past Long Beach State, have a really good opportunity to win in this situation. And they will, but ever so slightly. On the other side, they're going to finish this game, and they're going to watch on TV the New Mexico Lobos beat the Baylor Bears to be the 1-11 seed going to the Sweet 16 on my side of the bracket. From there, Arizona is going to be in for a culture shock.
This episode of Underground Sports Philadelphia is brought to you by our pals over at Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game. From sunglasses to blue light glasses to prescription lenses, Tomahawk Shades has you covered. They've been rocking with us for like 4 years now, which is crazy. They got involved with us as soon as a worldwide shutdown happened. That's how you know they are loyal and they know good podcasting when they hear it and when they see it. I wear the blue light glasses when I'm editing. I'll be wearing them all madness streams because I need my eyes protected. I got to protect those eyes. I wear them when I'm editing. I wear the sunglasses when I'm out and about, when I'm going to Philly for games, when I'm driving. You got to protect those eyes. Go to TomahawkShades.com or download the Tomahawk Shades app in the App Store or Google Play Store. And when you go to checkout, when your cart's all filled up to the brim, use code USP for 25% off your order from our friends at Tomahawk Shades. That's TomahawkShades.com or download the Tomahawk Shades app and use code USP at checkout for 25% off your order from our pals over at Tomahawk Shades. Now, let's get back into the episode.
Because New Mexico is going to be your 11 seed going to the eight, going to the Elite Eight. They're going to be the one team that gets this far and manages to upset and shock the world. They're going to be your Cinderella and your darling for the year. Start cashing in now because the Lobos are beyond for real. Tennessee will roll over Colorado State. This is a really fun game. I think Kalkbrenner versus Dana Altman, I think, is a compelling matchup. Creighton is really good with the ball. They shoot threes all over the place. Creighton will advance in this game. Gonzaga, in my opinion, is one of the strongest teams out here. They will indeed beat Kansas. I'm going to sit on this Purdue game, which I think you kind of know where I'm going with that. Marquette will roll. I love Kentucky. They're one of the hottest teams in the nation. For all you Duke fans out there that are watching, I want to let you guys know that, first of all, I hate you all. Second of all, you're going to get rolled by a team from Virginia that is just overall better than you. And Kyle Filipowski.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. You're the Christian Laettner, post-Christian Laettner. I'm sorry. I hate that kid.
He is. I said it on the live stream. I said he is like young Anakin Skywalker, and he is now turned into Darth Vader.
That guy's ready to go fucking Order 66 all over Cameron Indoor when they lose to JMU.
We got to be careful, though. We got to make sure he's going to play, because remember when they stormed the court, his legs fell off.
Oh, yeah.
And Jay Billis wants to lock everyone up.
This is not the Duke team of past either. Like, post Coach K, this team has not necessarily gone very far in the tournament. They haven't.
This Duke team is 2 days into college.
They have an seven, eight man rotation. They've lost their last two games. They lost their first game of the ACC tournament. No team has ever lost the first round of their conference tournament and won in March. Duke will get rolled by JMU. As we move down the bracket here to see where else we stand, we get to the first fall. Purdue.
Yes.
Has relied on Zach Edey for too long.
He's a conference referee merchant.
As my friend John Mavelia would like to say, that guy is going to be selling insurance in 6 months. TCU advances. TCU is actually one of the most like well-rounded teams in this tournament, and they the fact that they're on the back end of the Big 12, like, it shows again. The Big 12 teams play so well in this tournament, and they like. Going up against Baylor every single week, going up against Texas every week, like, they have the skill set to easily go far, which is why TCU Gonzaga is going to be a great game within the Sweet 16. Actually, the whole entire side here in the Midwest, TCU Gonzaga and Creighton, Tennessee are going to be two of the best games of the Sweet 16. I'm going to sit on them for a hot second. I really want to take St. Mary's. I really do. Again, they've sucked the life out of every single team they play. I just, part of me can't get past the idea that Armando Bacot and RJ Davis can't lose. This team has legitimate Final Four ability, and I do think North Carolina will win and move on to the Elite Eight. From here, of course, UConn will win over Iowa State. That's a given to me. I like Kentucky over Marquette. That's going to be an incredible game. Every Sweet 16 game that you're going to have is going to be an absolute show. I even think JMU is going to take Houston to the wire, but Jamal Shedd is going to light it up, and LJ Cryer. Houston's one of the best rebounding teams in the country. This is actually a rematch of what I had last year, which didn't come to fruition. But this is another great matchup that I love, Houston-Kentucky in this one. In the Elite Eight, we have one more matchup here in the Sweet 16. I want to check my actual bracket that I played, because I don't remember who I picked here in the spot. I want to make sure that I am
like
getting this.
Creighton.
I'm so on the fence, which is the problem. I keep jumping to this like question mark of, is it Tennessee and the lack of depth, or is it Creighton and their inability to pass the ball and continue to flow? Creighton plays slow. Tennessee plays medium. If they can get past the woes of their lack of depth, I think Tennessee can win this game. But Creighton is not a team to be messed around with. I'm very much lost here on this side of the bracket. But I think, based on matchups, Tennessee is going to have an easy game against St. Peter's. Really hard defense, but an awful offense. They played Quinnipiac in the MAC semifinal, and I basically watched like a 21-21 first half, and it was the ugliest game I've ever watched in my entire life. I don't think Colorado State is going to present a huge challenge to Tennessee, so I think they're going to have the easier road, and they're going to have more health. Creighton's got a rock fight with Oregon on their hands. That's going to be a down-to-the-wire game. I'm going to ride with Tennessee for the sake of the exercise. And again, there's a very good opportunity that I might pick Samford by the end of this, and I very well might pick at the end of this. Regardless of what I do, though, Gonzaga's going to win, and Gonzaga's going to move on to the Final Four. Doesn't matter who you put up against Gonzaga. And Nembhard and Co. Mark Few is too good in this tournament to be denounced by a team like Tennessee or Creighton. I like Gonzaga there. Unfortunately, the Tar Heels are going to end the Lobos' run, but you know what? It was a glorious run for the Lobos. So we've got North Carolina and UConn. Of course, UConn will win there. We go to the other side of the bracket quickly. Kentucky-Houston. Good night, Houston. I'm entrusting myself with the Kentucky Wildcats to go very far in this tournament. And I think that we're going to see a blue blood final between UConn and Kentucky. And you're going to see the UConn Huskies come out as champions once more. Now, with full disclosure, I think there's a lot of movement going on here and a lot of changes that can happen. I think St. Mary's can easily win. I think that New Mexico could very well beat North Carolina. I think Iowa State can beat UConn. Probably harder to do, but very possible. I think Marquette could beat Kentucky. I think Houston could beat Kentucky. And I even think James Madison could beat Houston. A lot of different moving pieces here. And again, if certain things pan out the way that they do, for example, right, if Illinois beats BYU, I think Illinois is a very strong team, that's going to be an insane matchup between Iowa State and Illinois. If, let's say, Marquette loses to a Colorado, it's easily Kentucky's to lose at that point. If can NC State beat Kentucky? I think it's more than possible. If Kansas goes far, if Oregon goes far, you might see Tennessee in the Final Four. Arizona could lose in the first round, and then you see New Mexico, again, get to where they are here, but a much easier battle going through a Dayton than an Arizona to get there. And again, St. Mary's could very well make the Final Four, if not make the final, because UConn, again, two slower teams, but when you go as slow as St. Mary's does, it's like UVA all over again when they won it all. Those super slow and constricting teams just go so far in this tournament. But again, UConn's not getting on a plane until the Final Four. They're playing four straight home games over a two-week span. They get to go home and hang out with their families. They get to be on campus. They're going to go and win at the Barclays Center. They're going to go back to campus for a week of school and practice on their home floor and get their own medicals and do everything in their own building. And they're going to drive an hour. They're going to drive. Only to then fly to Arizona. That, I think, is the biggest thing. That's a huge factor here in this tournament. And that's where I'm going to go with that. The biggest thing
from this tournament is, Steve,
that
pro sports have kind of lost the plot of.
Talk to me.
Both the men's and the women's logos for the Final Four are so spectacular.
They're impeccable.
So spectacular. And pro sports has lost the plot on that. And I'm very happy that the NCAA has not messed something up. And that is the Final Four logos for basketball.
Yeah, the logos have gotten progressively worse and worse every year. And I do think that that it's changed things a lot. Again, I want to point something out as well. Once again, you're going to have all 14 seeds lose to the three seeds. That's kind of been a given. I actually do think I'm going to wind up taking Samford when all said and done. And I actually think I might even take St. Mary's over North Carolina. We get St. Mary's versus New Mexico. That'll be a rock fight and a half. And a matchup that you're not going to want to watch because it's going to be so good. Houston, Kentucky is the hardest game to handicap. Kentucky's so hot. They're so good. When they beat Tennessee weeks ago, I was like, this team is going to go so far. But to draw Houston and draw NC State and draw Marquette, they have the hardest quest to the final amongst anybody. Think about it. Kentucky's going to have to play a red-hot NC State who won the ACC. They're going to have to beat the runner-ups in the Big East in Marquette, beat the number one seed Houston Cougars, then beat Gonzaga, all to then try and beat UConn where they'll come up unsuccessful. That's a ridiculous tall task, in my opinion.
So I always find it fun, and I think it would be fun to do this with you. So, like, typically on the main pod, whenever one of our teams loses, Matt and I try to select another team that we're going to root for to fill the void of our squad falling out. I think it's only fitting because it is March Madness. Who are the four teams that we are going to pick in the bracket to be like the underground sports teams?
You're entrusting me with the ability.
We're going to collaborate. We're going to collaborate.
Oh, boy. Okay. So
obviously, you know, everyone's going to be rooting for, you know, some of the top dogs as front runners and everything. But I think there's some sneaky fun teams to root for and be like our niche, like fun teams to root for, which could also play into our live stream schedule, which is coming as soon as we sift through all the tip times and everything. We are going to have live companion streams during March Madness throughout the tournament on our YouTube channel. So subscribe, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. It's going to be a ton of fun. And we will let you guys know which games, what times, when we come to a firm decision on those. But Steve, who are the four teams that we should corroborate on? I have a couple in mind.
All I'm saying is if we are not sitting on our asses at 9:40 at night on a Friday night watching JMU kill the living life out of Badgers, I don't want to be there for that stream. So, of course, I'm rooting for UConn. As a Notre Dame sports fan, knowing that the basketball team hasn't been good since the 80s is a real downer. So I picked up UConn basketball not as a front runner, but immediately after I watched Kemba Walker jackknife that game winner in the Big East tournament against Pitt, I fell in love with UConn. I always loved Kemba Walker. I bought his jersey from UConn. I had his jersey from the Bobcats, even when they were fucking awful. I love UConn, which is why I'm personally rooting for UConn. I will be progressively throughout the tournament. I'm going to give you one team from every single division to look out for, to root for. I would say out of the East, I'm 100% all in on Iowa State. The state of Iowa is impoverished. It is full of corn. The Field of Dreams gets too much love. The Cyclones deserve more, and I think the Cyclones are the team. And if you're going to root for anybody who isn't named Caitlin Clark in the state of Iowa, you might as well root for the Cyclones because they are my favorite team out of here. I think Drake is another really fun team to root for if you want another upset. But Iowa State to roll everybody is really what I'm looking at there. In the West, I am in love with St. Mary's and New Mexico. And to see one of them fall is going to be so bad. I'm going to say that just for the upset alertness, New Mexico is probably the team that I want to watch. Which, by the way, we may have the wildest stream count on Friday night. We're gonna get a 3:10 game on a Friday, which I'll be at work. Actually, I might take off the afternoon. A Friday during work, I'm watching New Mexico beat Clemson. At 10:05, I'm watching St. Mary's Grand Canyon. While at 9:40 is JMU Wisconsin. Yikes! Oh God, my head's gonna explode. And then in between all of that, we're gonna watch Charleston and Bama put up 400 points at 7:30. Fuck, that's gonna be amazing. I'm gonna say New Mexico out of the West just for the reason of the upset, but also I'll be all in on St. Mary's. People are gonna be easy to want to love McNeese. I'm gonna say my team out of the Midwest to root for is gonna be TCU. I think all the teams are really good. Gonzaga, I think. Oregon's going to have a rock fight on their hands. Creighton's going to have a great shot. But I really wanted to see TCU go far as one of the most experienced and well-rounded teams in this tournament. I think they have a great opportunity. And then finally, not because a high school alumni of mine happens to play for NC State and that team is uber hot, I just love the fact that the Wolfpack rallied through the ACC and now get to draw one of the hardest opponents in the round of 32. And if they can somehow manage to get past them, they'll be able to beat Marquette. I'm all in on NC State. And, of course, JMU, too. I'm all in there as well.
There's a South Jersey football player who went to NC State before transferring, too. Devin Leary.
Don't know who that is.
Played quarterback at NC State for 2-3 years. I think he just transferred.
Devin Leary's in the draft, though, right?
I think he is in this year's draft.
Yeah, he'll also be selling insurance in about 6 months. Actually, you know what?
He actually transferred to Kentucky.
There you go. I'm a fan of every team in the South that isn't named Duke. I just hope Duke dies. I hope Duke gets right up in the Catamounts. Fuck them. Also, guys, the one thing I will say about March Madness I think is really important, and I want to preface, is that just because your first round doesn't look great, the important part is longevity. You pick your upsets early, and you don't necessarily have them going very far unless in some egregious occasions like JMU, like New Mexico. The top teams always do prevail. And when you look at the metrics, there's a bunch of different things that fit. Every single champion for the last like 14 years has been top 25 in the week six AP poll, whatever. They all have this offensive and defensive efficiencies going into the year. All of them won at least one game in their conference tournament. Which, by the way, New Mexico fits every single one of these measurements that isn't the AP poll, which I think is also just a bullshit fallacy that week six of the year in early December automatically means that you're a blue blood team vying for this title. And then on top of all of that, just like looking at the team at those top teams that can go very far, the Auburns are going to go far. The Kentuckys are going to go far. Don't expect a team like Grambling State to beat Purdue out of the gate. It's a very unlikely scenario. And again, the only 16 seed that has any shot at beating their counterpart, honestly, which would really fuck me up, Stetson. It's the only team. And not because I bet on them at plus 400 to win the A Sun. That was a great call, by the way.
I have my teams too that I'm kind of like peachy keen on and looking forward to following along with that. I'll put the underground stamp of approval on. In addition to your New Mexico and NC State picks, I will add four additional teams. I love Auburn. I think this Auburn team is so fucking good.
They're stacked.
They're gonna be a force. I love this Creighton team. I think they're really good. I think they're poised for a deep run. I also love this Oregon team. So that matchup there, whoever wins, we're feeling good. And then JMU as well. I think they are awesome.
Don't get it twisted. Every guy who plays on Creighton, with the exception of Trey Alexander, is a white guy who drinks milk for every meal for the last 18 years of their life. Those guys are just built in the Midwest. When you go to college in Omaha, Nebraska, and your names are Kochbrenner and Schneierman. Jeez. Duds.
I'm gonna pull up their roster here.
There's a lot of great players there. Also, not for nothing, Creighton's gonna have probably the only three seed to have a tough matchup. The Akron Zips are actually a really good team. Enrique Freeman was the player of the year in their conference in the MAC. I think they're a solid opponent, but again, Kochbrenner and Schneierman and Co. They're the guys.
I mean, they have an awesome, awesome all-name team player from Argentina, Francisco Farabello. Come on!
They also have a all-time great coach in the Papa of Dougie McBuckets.
Yes, Mason Miller. He's a sophomore. That's an all-time Creighton name.
Just a bunch of white guys, bro.
Isaac Trout, spelled T-R-A-U-D-T.
Trout!
All-time Creighton name. He's a redshirt freshman.
Real talk, where are these guys from?
That's
the question. If these guys are not from, like, cornfields in Nebraska and Iowa and Idaho, not worth it.
Bunch of them are Nebraska. We have an Oklahoma City.
Perfect.
Oaklawn, Illinois.
Perfect. Middle of nowhere.
Germantown, Tennessee is the hometown of Mason Miller. We have somebody from Vegas. Florissant, Missouri.
Also middle of nowhere. Perfect.
Memphis. Another Vegas. Another Memphis. Alpine or Alpine, depending on if it's named after the F1 team or the mountains. Utah. And another, a bunch of Omahas, bunch of Peyton Manning's audible calls.
The fact that Ryan Kochbrenner is from middle of nowhere, Missouri, and Bailey Sherman is from Nebraska just tells you enough. Also, not to mention Sherman went to San Diego, went to South Dakota State, another out of the middle of fucking white nowhere place. I love this. This is great. This is going to be a, they're going to put on a damn show. Francisco Farabello just stands out as like the one guy that, like, it, in the row of criminals, you're like, oh, it's that guy. Easy. Like,
he's the one that they're pulling the mask off on Scooby-Doo.
Like, where'd the one freaking foreigner come from?
The NBA Global Academy.
Well, there you go. That's your answer. But a lot of talent out in Creighton. I also want to provide you one more team that I will be heavily rooting for in this tournament that I think actually deserves a lot of love, that is not getting a lot of love, that unfortunately I have losing in the first round, but I do think deserves their flowers for at least getting here. I want to show some appreciation to South Carolina. Strong team, good team, focuses a lot on their lack of depth, which is really the one thing that's upsetting. Their top player, Miti Johnson, didn't do much in the SEC tournament, which is a problem. However, like, this team has been good in moments, but it took a lot to get here. But they beat Tennessee, they beat Kentucky, they had their up and down battles. They're not an efficient team, but the fact that they got in on the sixth line is a impressive feat. So I'll be rooting for them, but Daniel Altman will ultimately crush their souls.
Can we also just talk about how elite of a mascot NC State has?
Oh, the Wolfpack?
Such a good. It is so classic, like Disney.
It is. It gives off like true Big Bad Wolf vibes.
Yes, it's so good. It's, you know, I'm going to.
A friend of mine texts me and he goes, "Yo, bro, pick New Mexico to make the to make the Sweet 16, all because of their mascot." He sends me the New Mexico State mascot, the Aggies. I don't know if you know this, Mr. Bennett, but the New Mexico State basketball team ceases to exist because last year they were caught for hazing. So the Aggies do not exist anymore as of the end of last year. It's the Lobos who are the sole team that matters in Division One college hoops.
Is that a permanent ban? Is that a perma ban?
They weren't banned from the conference. They banned themselves. So I don't really know.
Right.
But that's the tea. Also, I hate how there's like 14 teams that are all called the Aggies.
The Aggies, Wildcats, and this is coming from a Villanova fan. Like,
it's boring.
Yeah, Lamb. Get creative. That's what we should do. I've been thinking about this because I always come up with concepts too late when it comes to March Madness, and we'll do it probably in tournament. We should look up the most unique mascot names across the board, college, pro, you name it, and we do a bracket of best sports mascot.
Do they have to be official mascots?
We can sneak some in.
Can we include the Dartmouth mascot? Keggy the Keg?
That's incredible.
That guy! Professor Keg! Here to steal your girl. Give her an A on the test.
That's unreal.
So yeah, Keggy the Keg. Top five college mascots that I know off the top of my head. The University of California Santa Barbara Banana Slugs. Great. The Louisiana Raging Cajuns. I think an Aztec is badass. San Diego State. Aztecs are badass. It's an underrated one. The California ones really go hard. Cal Santa Barbara made the tournament three years ago. The Gauchos, which in typical Spanish, it just means that you're a rancher.
Yep.
But you're basically a Spanish cowboy, which is fucking dope.
Yep.
Like imagine Antonio Banderas showing up to your house with fucking two pistols locked in, ready to go to war with you. Compare him to whatever Aggie you've got. That right there, that's a man.
The what's the one that we talked about on the first installment this year? The Paladins.
Paladins are good.
It's a great Furman one.
By the way, also in this tournament, great mascot name is I just totally drew a blank on what it was. I saw it in my head because you sent me a photo, and I automatically just lost it. This is embarrassing. I feel like John Mulaney post cocaine. By the way, that right there is a clip. Western Kentucky, the 16 seed, the Hilltoppers.
That's a good one.
And also because of their NIL, they had, I think, like they sold like shirts or like hats for all of the football players for the Hilltoppers, and it was a Hilltopper is literally, it's a log with legs, and it's the log doing whatever the offensive line does or the cornerback.
Yeah.
Really cool, the Hilltoppers. By the way, if the Hilltoppers want to win a game, they are the fastest team in the country. They will try and beat you, and they will try and run you out of the yard of the, like it's Forrest Gump running across the country.
St. Peter's, the Peacocks. It's a good one.
Lame. Actually, hold on. We gotta stop because it's been an hour, but I have something for you that I want to conclude on here. That's one of the funniest Reddit threads that I have read. Where are we on here? This was one
where
of the
are you?
And I'm so sorry. Speaking of which, who let there be? Again, I'm absolutely fucking losing myself. I'm losing my mind. Who let Grady Dick take a photo with a guy whose last name is Black?
Boo the Orlando Magic. Boo.
So boo. Here we go. In every tournament since 2021, a top two seed has lost in the first round to a team with a phallic or euphemistic name. In 2021, 15 seed Oral Roberts beat Ohio State. In 2022, St. Peter's defeated Kentucky. In 2023, Fairleigh Dickinson defeated Purdue. That's 3 years in a row. Once is happenstance, twice is coincidence, three times is a pattern. In 2024, Houston will face Longwood, and Illinois will face Morehead State. Will they be the next teams to fall dictum
this trend? Also, South Dakota State, Jackrabbits, great.
St. Peter's is elevated with the fact that their name is the Peacocks.
Yes.
By the way, a funny-ass song by Katy Perry.
Not to be confused with the Carolina Streaming Service Turkeys.
Also, not to be confused with the streaming service called Peacock that hosts one of my new favorite sitcoms, Ted, which if you haven't watched it, you need to watch it. No free ads, but it's one of the funniest shows I've ever watched.
I think that is everything for this bracket breakdown edition of Underground Madness. Follow us on the socials at Underground PHI, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI. Twitch.tv/UndergroundSportsPHI. Of course, subscribe to the podcast feed, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts in audio form. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia, so you don't miss out on our companion streams. Follow Stevie Mac on the socials. I saw you switched your Instagram handle over, @RealSteveMcAvoy.
You know, I've been asked this multiple times. Is there a fake Steve McAvoy? There is one on Twitter. It's a bunch of Chinese characters and a photo of a woman washing her feet. I don't know why, but no one has yet to upset me on Instagram. But at the very least, people now know that I am the real Steve McAvoy, not the fake one.
Yeah, that's Steve Mac Timu.
Timu.
Follow him on Twitter and Instagram @RealSteveMcAvoy. Follow me on Twitter @KBIZZL311 and KBIZZLE11 everywhere else. And, of course, check out Dead Threads. Click the link in the description or go to deadthreads.shop and use code UNDERGROUND for 10% off your order and submit those dead brackets to us. We're going to the bracket graveyard, and whoever has some of the most dead brackets out there will be getting some sweet gear from Dead Threads. And, of course, join our bracket challenge. It is free to join. Every single year we do this, we want to make this the biggest one possible. So keep joining. Send it to your friends, your family. We don't care who's in it. Biggest thing, name your bracket after your social media handle of choice. That way we know how to contact you if you do end up winning. And follow us. Don't be one of those merchants who's just coming in and joining the fun and not following us. What are we doing? Join the follow us. Join the bracket. name it after your social handle, and let's have some fun.
Or you could be like me and name it after the MAC Coach of the Year, Tom Pokora, a.k.a. the fucking Godfather. If you've never seen or heard of Tom Pokora in your entire life, former assistant to Jay Wright, looks exactly like he could be Ray Liotta in Goodfellas.
I'll leave you with this, Steve. Speaking of Goodfellas, Jay Wright, Villanova.
You Can't Handle the Truth. It's the wrong movie, but...
Is the Big East the most Italian conference in all basketball?
Easily. With the exception of all those fucking guys from Omaha, yes.
The Big East. The Paisan Conference of America.
Indeed.
Hope you guys enjoyed our bracket breakdown episode of Underground Sports Philadelphia. Be sure to follow us on the socials at Underground PHI, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI, Twitch.tv/UndergroundSportsPHI. Follow me on Twitter at KBIZZL311 and KBIZZLE11 on Instagram and Threads. Follow Stevie Mac at Real Steve McAvoy on Twitter and Instagram. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast feed, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast in audio form. Subscribe to the goddamn pod. Leave a 5-star rating and review. Download that bad boy. Share it with your friends and family. Keep on subscribing. Let's crack the top 1,000 in the U.S. sports charts. Let's go. Let's keep it pushing. Download, subscribe. Subscribe to the pod. And of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. That's where you get full video episodes of this show twice a week, full video episodes of every show on our network, live streams, clips, shorts, original video content. It is all on our YouTube channel. Our Underground Madness streams will be going down on our YouTube channel. Tune into those. It's going to be an absolute doozy of a time. youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. We're at 751 subscribers. Can we get to 800 before the end of the month? Let's make that happen. Come on. Let's make me even happier than I am right now after seeing the podcast charts. Let's go. And of course, get your merch at phiapparel.co. Code underground, 10% off your orders. And this show is presented by the City of Vineland. And whether you're a company looking to expand, relocate, or you're a new business startup, selecting the right location is critical to your success. Vineland, New Jersey offers both an affordable business location and an excellent quality of life. The city's economic development department is a one-stop source for moving your project through the development and approval process, and their goal is to make this process as smooth as possible and to provide the fastest turnaround times in the region. If you're considering potential locations for your operation, contact the Vineland Economic Development Team at 856-794-4100. That's 856-794-4100. Vineland, New Jersey, where it's always growing season. And big thank you to Security 21 Security Systems and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated for their continued support of this podcast. Welcome to Madness Season, everybody. And this has been episode number 622 of Underground Sports Philadelphia, presented by the City of Vineland. I'm KB. Shout out Stevie Mac for breaking down the bracket with me. We'll see you guys on the streams. We'll see you guys this weekend for another episode of the pod. Keep on subscribing. And until then, I'm getting the heck up out of here, and I am signing off. Peace. I'm